Tonight, let's talk about Shimon and Levi, okay? What's fascinating is in the blessings of Shimon and Levi. So Shimon and Levi, Achim, they are brothers, they're united, right? We start off, they're the only two brothers in Yaakov's blessings that are blessed together. And yet, what's the end of Yaakov? I don't know what it calls a blessing or his speech to them. Achalkim be Yaakov, afitzim be Yisrael. What does that mean? I'm going to separate them. So like, it's just very fascinating. Like they're unique in that they're the only ones who are blessed together, or they're addressed together. They're addressed as Achim, but their destiny is that they're never going to be together. And the question is that a positive consequence or a negative consequence?
Which one?
That they're being scattered, they're going to be split. Is that negative, positive?
Negative, I think.
It's negative. What do you mean? Why? Why are you saying it's negative? In what way is it negative?
I mean, some of the verbiage wasn't even that nice, right?
Right. Klei chamas mecheroseim. Their trade is violence.
Yeah.
B'sonato nashi b'klam al-teh chalvi, and their secrets or their advice. My soul shouldn't come in their gathering. My honor shouldn't be there. Kiva apam harguish. They killed someone in their anger over tsunami kushor. They uprooted ashore with their desire. Arapam, cursed is their anger, kiaz, because it's strong, vevrasam, also their anger, ki kashasa. So it seems that it's a negative consequence, right? Right. That's what it seems like.
Is there a blessing here at all?
Right, is there a blessing here at all?
Well, maybe when they're together, they like negatively influence each other, so they can only fully realize their potential apart.
Right, the question is, is it simply they're really dangerous together, and therefore we can't keep them together, or they're dangerous together, but they're positive apart? Is it like a neutral, or is it a positive? So we're going to see how some of the Farshim understand that, right? Well, what would you say? Like, why would they be positive if they're apart? Why would it be not a positive? You want to say it's a good thing.
Like, redirect their energies.
Redirect. You know, together, they can't. Why?
They feed off each other.
They feed off.
It's a psychological thing.
Right. No, they feed, in what way they feed off each other? Well, like, so spell it out. What does that mean?
Yeah. They plot.
They plot together. So they can plot individually. They're schemers.
Like someone separating kids, like who do that in school. They come sitting next to each other.
Right, but individually, they're not so dangerous. They're not so uncomfortable.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like teenagers.
Right, okay.
They're not
well, like me and Tal Rothschild, every time I eat over there.
Yeah, okay. So they feed off each other. You know, they have a certain. It's the relationship. Okay. So the Ramban, it's one point out. Now, what does Achim mean, by the way? Shimon Levi Achim. So there's some. Okay, they're brothers. Okay, yes, they're brothers. What do you think the word Achim means, other than brothers? Like, yes, we know they're brothers.
Partners in crime.
Okay. So what's interesting is that you see the Ramban, so it could be that they're similar, like similar ideas, but the Ramban has two explanations. The first one is actually not so bad. He says, Shimon le'achim, but what did they do that was so bad that Yaakov knew? What did they do that was so bad that Yaakov knew? What?
Shechem.
Shechem. Right. And not, right. What else did they do that was bad? But the Yosef, right. So we'll see, did Yaakov know? Did not know about that? But clearly Shechem, he's clearly referring to. So the Ramban says, Yomar Bale Achva, they're called, they have Achva, they're people who feel a sense of kinship. Ki Yecham Libam Alachosam, their heart boils, right, with anger, you know, or with they care, they're upset, their heart, they feel very passionate over their sister. Yelamed aleim schus, so Yaakov is judging them favorably. Ki bekina sam al hachva, asu ma shasu, because of their jealousy or their zealousness, right? Jealousy is bad. Zealousness is a nice word. But their zealousness over this sense of kinship, they did what they did. Lomar she'ein ruim lo nesh gadol, they're not fit to have a great punishment. Lo ched roi limochel, sin is not. You know, it's not fit. You can't totally forgive. Q Hamas is violence. But he's trying to play down. They're achim. They meant well. It was sort of like misplaced passion.
Well, they get the last word in that episode.
Right. So it's very interesting. So it's very interesting. They get the last word then, and Yaakov gets the last word now. And sometimes it's not always the best to... It's not fruitful timing to get into an argument with someone. It might only be fruitful timing, whether with it's a spouse or children or parents, whatever it is. So that's the question. Like, is it like shtika kol da that Yaakov didn't say anything now because he agreed, or he felt like it wasn't the proper time, and now he's addressing it now at the end of his life, right? So the Ramban says that Yaakov is clearly critical. It seems he's critical. He doesn't say anything, right, and they do have the last word, and he's saying he's trying to justify. He said it's sort of misplaced passion. He does say v'nachom beinai shamar ki shimon v'levi achim. So achim can either mean that they're similar, they have similar ideas, right? They're achim, they're brothers in their ideas and how they approach life and how they approach things. Or does it mean, is the mamlam mitzchos, it wasn't so bad. And the question is, so what do you do, how do you address individuals who perhaps have an abundance of passion that knows no bounds, that sometimes is misplaced? As a side point, there's an interesting debate as to whether Yaakov knew about Yosef. Now, what is there any evidence here that Yaakov may have known about Yosef? Maybe.
Well, he wouldn't be misnachem.
Did you say from here?
Yeah, from here. It's not a great proof. I'm just saying Rashi, if you look at Rashi, it says, if your tzodam ikru shor, and their desire, they uprooted a shore. So,
sure, for Yosef.
Right, but where is it referred to him as Yosef? Is sure, you know, because you the bracha, right? So that's like a question. That's a right thing. Say, Ratzu Lakos Yosef Shadikra Shor Shenemar Bechor Shor Hader Lo. So was that something like that? When Moshe called Yosef a shore, was he referring to something that he was known for originally? So is the shore referring to Yosef? In other words, is Yaakov being critical of Shechem and also Yosef? Like at some point, did Yaakov find out about the sale? Radak and others say no. Hargu ish der klal kmo v'ish Yisrael v'adomulom, like they killed someone. V'chein shor, what's shor kmo ki basus paro v'ha'adomulom. What does that mean? Ki efshe shalachu k'tzasa behemos imam v'aku k'tzasa. So presumably, is this whole ki v'apam hargu ish v'ritzon mikro shor? Does that refer to when they wiped out the town of Shechem and they also took cattle as well? They took spoils, right? So that's. And some say maybe he cites an opinion that says Shor might have been the Nasi Haaretz Chamor, yeah, and Ligdula Karu Shor. It's a leader. Okay, so it's not 100% clear whether Yaakov knew. Now, the question is, what is the solution? So, what does Yaakov advise, or what does he decree upon them, or what does he recommend based on the fact that they have this? They have the anger management issues. Right, that's what they have. They have more misplaced passion. So you have different mefarshim. You have the Sephorno who says, "Orar apam yechsar apam b'shiflusam v'koshi mezonoseihem ayidei chiluk utefutza." Their anger will diminish by their low state and a difficulty in finding food through being separate and scattered. In other words, when they're not united, they're individuals. So they're. They're, and by the way, how were they scattered and separated in practice? What do you think he's referring to here? Were the tribes of Shimon Levi scattered or separate? In what way were they, maybe? So we know that, the Levium, do they have were they a tribe? Why weren't they a tribe? So
they don't have a piece of land.
What? But they don't have land, so they just had cities. So they're clearly being scattered, right? They have the different cities. They don't have this united. You know, there's no unity there of the whole Shevet Levi. So it's not only I'm going to separate Shimon from Levi. I'm going to, even these tribes themselves. And Shimon, did Shimon have its own tribe? Is it a trick question? You're like nervous to answer yes. Presumably there were a tribe, right? There were a tribe. However, by the way, it's interesting. When Moshe blesses them, he doesn't bless Shimon at the end of his life. There's a hint to him, Shimon, being in the tribe of Yehuda, because it actually, if you look at the land, Shimon does not get his own land. Shimon's territory is within Yehuda. So in some sense, they don't have an independent identity, separate entity. And Svardo says, because of their lowly state, then that will diminish them. You know, it's interesting, sometimes when someone is a lowly state, they get angry. But here we're saying, like, when they're in a good place and they think about their ideal, like you look at what some people who are, they're put in a very low state, then they revolt, they rebel. I think we're talking about here Shimon and Levi when they're in their element and they're passionate for their values in a good place and they feel strongly about their values, so then they're going to fight for it, and then they could lead to a disaster. But when I have to worry about basic needs like food and just put food on the table, they're not going to be worried about that. That's what Svarto says. It's bad for them to be together. It's negative. It's negative for them together, so we're going to scatter them so this negative quality does not express itself. The Radak says, not that they're going to... Rashi says, Afridim zemizeh, shel yehe levi binyan ha-shvatim, right? Levi won't be one of the tribe of shvatim. Vrehim chilukim, chalukim, they're going to be divided. If you skip to the Radak, achal kebi yachad shel yu yachad, they're not going to be together. Ki shimon ha-yisa nachla so chaluka, right? Shimon was in the tribe of Yehuda. And their Nachla won't be like one. They're not going to be like their own uniform, separate tribe. They're just different cities. So, but Sfardo, Rashi, Radak, either because they'll be in an impoverished state, or they're not going to have their own separate territory that they can express their values in a very passionate way. They're going to be sort of separate, divided. So basically you're saying it's an absence of negative. There's negative when they're together, and so an absence of that when they're separate, when they're scattered. But now you see some other interesting mafarshim. You have the Akedas Yitzchak. That's of Yitzchak Arama. It says, Davar gadol ha-navi, diber shekvar b'rachacham. So he says it's the Navi. I forgot who this refers to. But he wants to say an interesting thing. He said, "Mea gimel midos shakas v'chema." So among some of the midos, including anger, chema, different type of fury, im shehem hapuliot p'chusot. These are lowly. You don't want to be someone who's angry, who's full of fury all the time. Hinehem lifamim yo'ilu. Sometimes it's good to be angry. When is it good to be angry? When is it good to be angry? Is it ever good to be angry?
In God's service.
In God's service. Okay. Yeah. If you sometimes people. Sometimes you need, if you see, if people are, if let's say there is some, you know, bad behavior going on, or there are bad values going on, everyone's like laissez-faire, you're like, yeah, it's fine, whatever. You need someone to get angry at times. Sometimes you need someone to be passionate. So it's not good to be, by definition, I'm an angry person. I'm just angry at everything, you know, like obviously, like, society is not perfect, and there are a lot of problems. So, like, you could basically spend your whole life just being angry at the fact that we do not represent the ideal, and our society doesn't represent the ideal, and this organization is bad, and this organization is bad, and these people are bad. Of course, we all fall short of the ideal. So if that's your, like, if that's like your essence, that's a bad thing. But there are times you pick your spots when you get, I remember Rav Schechter was saying, in parenting your kids, he said, you should never be angry. You can, sometimes you should pretend that you're angry. But I don't know. He's like, but bottom line is, I can't say something that anger is good. Vula harim lo rer bahem malatak vura. This is to awaken the level of strength. V'hoyu me'anchi Hashem shebeneim shamar ketzef tarima maila. And there are people of renown, and among them say that anger sometimes will raise a level. And it's a derech zerus the gibor. We tell the strong people to encourage them to have a sense of alacrity. Hinei sheyirt sashim harav mehem hu mazik. If there's a lot of anger, it's damaging. Yesh bimat mehem toas. But if there's a little bit of it, there's a purpose. Biksatik in sometimes. Kamosh shebiyar nebim lechad haditzachon. It comes to victory. V'gam hu muvar sheyoil bahanagat habayit v'amdina shir harvar. Sometimes also, leader, you're in your homes, most of the time there should be shalom bayis. It should be peace. Maybe once in a while, sometimes maybe it needs to be... You feel sometimes our government also, for the most part, should be pleasant, of good relationship. Sometimes it has to be very strong. So that's his point. His point is, V'lezelmar zakein ha-chacham. So this is what Yaakov was saying. She'af ha-havra, asher nitchamu yachad, b'shimon v'levi, roi she'yichol kubash kol shivtei Yisrael. The anger that Shimon and Levi possess, that together, better, you know what? It should be scattered among all the tribes of Yisrael. And every area will tell, I got my little anger here. I got my little, like, you need some people once in a while to express their passion. Because sometimes we're lulled into, sometimes we can be lulled into mediocrity. Yeah, this, you know, why we do this? This is how it's always been done. And sometimes there could be issues, you know. People could be suffering. You know, there could be a lack of, you know, whatever, moral standards or lack of ethical values. And you're like, yeah, that's how it is here. You need those people a little bit here and there to like wake us up a bit. So he's saying that sometimes that you need them separate. And the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in Emes LeYaakov, if you go back to Rashi, he says that Ein Lachanim V'Sofrim Amlamni Tinochos Ami Shimon. So Shimon actually were grade school teachers, elementary school teachers. They taught little kids, and they should be scattered amongst the people. You need Jewish educators throughout. The Shiftel Shalevi also Maksar Al Gronos the Trumos of the Masros. They're Shevet Levi, so they would collect Trumos and Masros. So the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, he quotes this, and he says, I'm reading like the third line. Even though this is a punishment for Shimon Levi, they were separated, they were scattered, but Yaakov gave them very elevated jobs. They were Rabbeim, and they were involved in matters of Kedusha, Shevet Levi. Right? Trumos, Masros. They're the only ones who were zealous for this. Like, you know, are people going to treat our sister like this? Or we should not do anything? Only they're called the brothers of Dina. Because they were willing to give up their lives over this. In order to succeed at these positions, Muchrochim Limnot. Lamanos anoshim sheish behem midas haknos and mesirus nefesh shem terusim. You need people who have a little fire. You want to instill fire in your students. You want to or people take matters of kedusha, trumos and masos to treat them with the requisite holiness. You need people who feel a little passionate. So the job. So again, when we got the Rav Yitzchak Rama says that yeah, together too much passion. So you know, explosion. But you know what? A little here, a little there, a little passion spread out around the community, not a bad thing. And more than that, Ryab Kamenetsky, they got jobs, very important jobs where you need the passion. So I want to share with you one final comment of Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says very beautifully. He says, Achalkeim b'Yaakov v'afitzeim b'Yisrael. Right? That's the ending. Achalkeim b'Yaakov v'afitzeim b'Yisrael. What's Al-Chalkeim B'Yaakov? What's Al-Chalkeim for Lord Chalek?
Divide.
Yeah, I'll divide them. I'll divide them, divide them to different portions throughout Yaakov. What's Afitzeim?
Spread them out.
Scatter them among Yisrael. What's the difference between Al-Chalkeim and Afitzeim? And Yaakov Yisrael, right? Like it seems like it's like just, he's being poetic, you know? He's expressing, you know, a similar term, you know? Yaakov Yisrael, Al-Chalkeim, Afitzeim. So Rav Hirsch says, no. Achalkeim is different than Afitzeim. He says like this. I'm really bored in my shir. Okay, so he says, I thought we could make it the whole way. So let's say you have a whole pie of pizza. You divide the slices. Everyone gets a slice of pizza. That's good, right? You know, the reverse says that Mechalek inena lahachlish davar shahayu shalom adko. You're not trying to weaken what existed until now, but what are you doing? Lachalek davar yakar. You, when you're being mechalek, you're giving a significant portion to a lot of people. You have a pie, 8 slices in a pie. You're giving a significant slice to 8 people so they can all enjoy the pizza. What's that feet say? You're crushing it. You're scattering it to really small pieces, so it's insignificant. Okay, that's the difference. What's the difference between Yaakov and Yisrael? What's the name Yaakov and Yisrael? What's the more dignified name of the two names, Yaakov and Yisrael? Right? Yaakov is when, you know, when was he called Yaakov?
At birth.
What? He held the heel. And the beginning of his life, what is he doing? He's running away from Esav. He's dealing with Lavan. What's Yisrael when he's building an empire? So Rav Hirsch says that, you know, so he says that Yaakov is the image of the Jewish people begalus in exile, and Yisrael is the image of Am Yisrael in benitzchono, in its state of victory. So Hilchot, we're in the second paragraph here. Hasakana nishkefet liklal me'avrat zamam shalev Shimon v'Levi kayemet rak bizman ha'pricha shalav. What is their danger of Shimon and Levi together? That's when we are thriving as a nation. We're thriving as a nation. B'shah shehu ma'avet tzibur chazak. We're a strong nation. Hello, b'nakel l'mashiach achrei hashpat shnei shvatim milchadim. Then there's a danger of being under the influence of these two united tribes. Hamlim hakarat tocham, that are full of their strength, the records of their strength. V'regesh haklal boer b'kibam. And the feeling of the cloud is burning in them. So therefore, he says, be Yisrael. He's saying that when we are in a state of Yisrael, everything's great. You know, when the Jewish people are in their homeland and they're secure, we don't want anger. We want to do things nicely. We want to do things bishalom. We want to do things peacefully. We don't want Shimon and Levi, you know, making people crazy with their passion. It's interesting. You might think, no, when we're in a good state, we're in a state of shalom, we want to do things in peace. We want to do things gently and with the state of benachas. So therefore, right, so that, and that's why he says, that's what Levi didn't take a portion of the land, and basically he had, if you think about it, how did Levi earn his living?
Maser.
So meaning, and by the way, did he automatically get the maser? So who, like if I'm a Levi, so can I go to you and say, you give me maser?
No.
Well, so.
You have to give it to the Levi.
Right, so, but you don't, no one has to give me. You just have to give to a Levi.
Right.
So what do I have to do if I want you to give me it? Be nice. Oh, I mean, I'm saying that's sort of first try. I'm not saying it. That's what he said. He says that Levi lo tachay v'kimo toli b'maser b'irtzono hatov shekol yachid. The maser depends on goodwill, right? He says it's different with Yosef. By the way, when the Egyptian, the, you know, when Yosef bought all the land of the Egyptians in last week's parsha, so he didn't buy the land of the priests. They owned the land, and they got a also they said they got a fixed income from Paro, so they don't have to be nice to the people. That's the difference, by the way, between the rabbit in America and Israel. You're paying my salary. You hope the budget passes. I got to be nice to you. In Israel, there's more distance, right? They get paid by the country, so they don't have to feel as connected. I mean, that's the cynical metzius to some extent. I'm just saying, like, people feel like they're more connected. If someone's paying your salary, there's more of a connection, as opposed to the rabbi could do whatever he wanted in Israel, is getting paid by the state. And there's not, you're not as incentivized. There's a first writes this, right? So he's saying, he said the Nachla of Shimon was absorbed in the Nachla of Yehuda. Because when we're in a state of security in our land in Eretz Yisrael, when we're Yisrael, so we don't want the crazy passion. We don't want the anger. We want to be b'shalom. We want to work things b'nachas b'shalom. He says, times of galus, when the pressure is on, you know, we're in exile. Like, our galus in America is pretty decent. Okay. We're saying we have free access to religion, you know, we have schools, yeshivas, we have beautiful communities. But there are times throughout our history in galus when mamish, like, it's crazy to suggest that we should continue practicing our religion, because the price to pay is exorbitant. It's crazy. And that's why we need crazy people. We need passionate people. We need, right? Achal came b'Yaakov. We're in a state of galos. We need powerful Shimons and Levis telling us, no, don't give up. Fight. Don't give up. Our values are critical. And we need, like, you know, you think about, I mean, you think of, we just celebrated Hanukkah, the Chashmonaim, right? From Sheva Levi. You need passionate people like that, right? And that's, and you need that strength. You need that strength. So in times of galus, in times where things look dark for us, so then achal kim b'Yaakov. So Yaakov says, then we need to, like a pizza pie, slice here, slice there, slice there. We need the passion. when we're being threatened with a very spiritual existence. But God willing, now that we have, if we get closer to, if we, to the extent we believe that we're returning to Eretz Yisrael, we're hoping for a state of peace. It's like, you think about it, it's like a little bit the opposite, right? But right before October 7th, there was this mamish tension between the religious, the secular, the right and the left. You know why? You could make the argument. The reason why there's so much tension is because we were in a state of peace. And because there's a state of peace, now everyone's thinking about my ideology. I want my ideology to win, right? I want my ideology to win, and I'm going to fight for my ideology to shape the character of the country. I think of her as like the exact opposite. In times of peace, even though theoretically it's time where you can, try to shape the country, but you can't do it with the anger, you can't do it with the passion. You got to do it benachas, you got to do it b'shalom. I think that perhaps is how we understand Yaakov's address to Shimon Levi. It wasn't simply they look at their passion being negative. It's perhaps negative when they're together, but scattered. Sometimes it's actually important and necessary, and they had very important jobs. And certainly in a state of galus, it's the passion that's really, I think, kept us alive for a thousand years in galus. And hopefully, we can usher in a time where we don't need the crazy, angry passion, but we just need the shalom and the nachas.